We are here celebrating this Feast of Tabernacles. And it's when you and me take time out and reflect about our calling and what this Feast of Tabernacles really means for you and me, the Church of God. We have been given so much. God has called you and me out of this reign of Satan's reign upon this earth. So we should be thankful for what we have been given, because we have been given so much in our mind about the plan of our great God. And it's in the form of understanding that was given. And we were given understanding about God's church and what is in store for the Church of God. So this Feast of Tabernacles is much about that, what is taking place for the Church of God in our future. When God sends His Son back to this earth to set up God's kingdom upon this earth, we know that it will begin a time of peace upon this earth for mankind. We understand that truth will be taught to mankind. And mankind will begin to be given understanding. Understanding that they have been lied to. They will begin to understand about the religious deception that has been upon this earth. We know that there is a being upon this earth that has influenced mankind for 6,000 years. But what we are picturing now at this Feast of Tabernacles is a time when He will not be able to influence man's mind for 1,000 years. The millennium is the beginning of God's time upon this earth. John was given understanding about what would take place during this time that we are here picturing at this Feast of Tabernacles. John said that there would be a time that living waters would flow at the return of God's Son back to this earth. John explained it as living waters. And that will be the subject of this sermon today, living waters. And those living waters will begin to encompass the earth. And it's speaking about doing away with the deceptions of this world beginning with the millennium. John explains about what will take place that will do away with the deceit that has taken place during 6,000 years. And John tells us it's like living waters that will flow. So it's telling you and me about a healing that will take place. A healing of the mind will take place. God will now offer to those that live into the millennium and those that will be born during the millennium about a way of life, His way of life. God will pour out His Spirit upon mankind and understanding will be given. Spiritual understanding that mankind has never had access to until now, what this Feast of Tabernacles pictures. We know that that has not been offered except to those that God has called during the 6,000 years. But now minds will begin to be opened, and God has given you and me understanding of His great plan for mankind during the millennium. The statement that John made about those living waters, it was a spiritual meaning that was given. We understand what John was saying when he spoke about those living waters that would encompass the whole earth. And we understand about that healing that will begin to take place upon this earth. It's a time when truth will be taught. And we all want to think that everyone that hears that truth will accept God's offer. But we know what God had written in this book. God tells us in this book about a lake of fire that will take place at the end. And God had it written about so many at the end that would not accept His offer. And they will be as the sands of the sea, as the way it was written. So many that will not want what God will offer them. So let's begin today in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and let's begin in verse 1. And we will look at some accounts that took place and see what we can glean from those accounts and what it picture's leading us into. And it says, the former account I have written, O Theophilus, of all that Joshua the Christ began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. So we can see what was being said and what was taking place. Joshua the Christ taught them until the day which he was taken up, after he was hung upon that pole. Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his suffering through many infallible truths, proofs, being seen of them, let's notice, 40 days. So they were able to see Joshua the Christ at different times. And he would speak about those things that was being taught. He was teaching them about the kingdom of God, the time that it would take place upon this earth, the time that you and me are celebrating this Feast of Tabernacles, a time when that kingdom will be here. So Joshua the Christ himself taught them for 40 days after the resurrection, after he was brought back to life from the dead. He told them that they were to stay there and wait for the promise of what we know, the Holy Spirit that was given to them. Verse 6, let's notice what was on their mind. Same thing that's on our mind. And they asked, will you again restore the kingdom to Israel? They understood that there was a kingdom coming. And they were asking Christ about that kingdom that would come. And he was asking about what we are here celebrating, when the kingdom of God would be established upon this earth. We understand that they did not understand. They did not have much understanding. But here they were talking about a time when Joshua the Christ would set up the kingdom of God. So they were actually asking about the time that we are here celebrating at this Feast of Tabernacles, the millennial reign of Joshua the Christ, when he will come and set up that kingdom that they were asking about. And let's notice what Christ said to them. He told them it was not for them to know the times of the seasons which the Father had kept in his own power. So we understand that it was not given to them to know the times or the seasons. But he told them, let's notice, you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. So let's notice what he was telling them, that they would be witnesses, let's notice, of him both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. And let's notice the rest, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. So we understand that the disciples that walk with him upon this earth, we understand that they will return with him when he sets up the kingdom of God upon this earth. We know that they will be part of that kingdom, and their witness will continue during this 1,000-year reign of Christ upon this earth and into the 100-year period until the end. Verse 9. When he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and it says, the way it's written, a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked toward the heavens, so the way it's written, it says, a cloud received him. So that's the way it was given to John to write this. And he didn't just disappear as he had before during those 40 days that he was teaching them. He would just come in and out and appear and disappear. And he didn't do this at this time. He let them see him as he left. And that's how he leaves, and that's how he appears into the sky. He disappears into the sky. And let's notice, all of a sudden, two men was there by their side. And it says, in white apparel. And they said to them, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the sky? This same Joshua that was taken up from you into the sky will come in like manner as you have seen him go into the sky or into the heavens. And we understand it was two angels that spoke these words to them. So, let's progress on in the story. So let's turn over to Revelation chapter 14. This is the way that he left. And Revelation chapter 14 tells us about how he will return and what will take place at his return. So let's turn over to Revelation chapter 14. You know, brethren, God has a way of painting a beautiful picture of his plan to you and me. And he paints that picture in our minds. And he paints us a picture of what takes place next in God's plan. And it's a beautiful time for mankind upon this earth. Because a time of peace will then begin for man. Peace that has so eluded mankind. We understand that man does not know the way of peace, but here it's picturing a time of when peace will begin upon this earth. And it's what this feast pictures, a time of peace. Peace for mankind, and it paints us a beautiful, beautiful picture. The book of Revelation picks up the story for what will take place next. Those that were with him, that saw him ascend into the heavens, will now understand about God's kingdom because they will come back with him. They will be in that group that returns to this earth to set up the kingdom of God upon this earth. And it's just as he told them. This is telling us exactly how Joshua the Christ is coming back in the same manner that he left this earth. He's going to appear in the sky, and there will be some that will be able to see him. And as we know, we remember the story about those that stuck that spear in their side. And that will be addressed here as well, about what takes place with that. The ones that stuck that spear in him will eventually see him. And this book says that there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth as we move through God's plan. That's the way it is written. So can you imagine if you had witnessed what took place when those stuck that spear in his side, those that were there that witnessed that, and those that took part in it? And it's revealed in this book. God's book. And we understand that there will be 144,000 returning with Joshua the Christ to set up God's government upon this earth. And it includes those apostles, those disciples that was with him when he was upon this earth the first time. And now they will be with him again for all eternity, brethren. Revelation 14 and verse 1. So this is the story of that beautiful picture in the plan of our God for mankind. This is that beginning. I looked and behold a lamb standing upon Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. This is the way that John wrote it, and we understand what has taken place. They are now spirit beings. And we understand that it's a time that they have become Elohim in God's family. And they are spirit. And it says, I heard a voice from heaven, from the voice of mighty waters and the voice of great thunder. And I heard the sound of harpers playing their harps. They sung as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living beings and the elders. And no one could learn that song. Let's notice. No one could learn that song except the 144,000, because you and me understand what has taken place during the 6,000 years. And it says here where they came from. They were redeemed from this earth. We understand that they are those that it says were not defiled with women. We understand what this means. And we understand that it's talking about the religions of this world. And it says they are virgins. So we understand what has taken place. And that's how John describes it. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And it says they were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. So it tells us this is the first. that will become Elohim. These are the first. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God, because they have now become Elohim. And that is what we are celebrating at this Feast of Tabernacles, return of Joshua the Christ to set up God's kingdom upon this earth, the very kingdom that those disciples were asking about the first time. The first time that they asked Christ about that, and now they are a part of what they were asking about. And it should bring you to your knees to know what you to know and understand what you have been offered. We understand that there will be some in that 144,000 and others that will live into the millennial reign of Joshua the Christ. And to be able to see those things that take place, just like those disciples saw what took place when Christ was hung upon that pole, there will be some that live into the millennium that will be able to see some awesome events take place upon this earth. Just to see those things take place would be a tremendous blessing, brethren. To see Joshua the Christ returning back to this earth with those disciples, those apostles, to witness that event. We understand that those that are returning are spirit beings now. And what a blessing to live into the millennium or to be a part of those spirit beings would be an awesome blessing, either one of those events. The disciples were privileged to see some awesome sights in their days. And can you imagine what some will be able to see during the millennium? Not even counting the 100-year period. Would be a shame to miss those times. But I understand that so many will miss it. Some will not be happy what God will offer them about this way of life. There will only be one way of life taught upon during the millennium. And complacency will take place upon those that are living during that time. There will be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That human nature. That human nature will not go away, brethren. It will be very powerful during that 1,000-year reign upon this earth of Christ. And those lusts will be readily available to mankind during that 1,000 years. Human nature will still be here upon this earth. And complacency will set in, brethren. After a few years, those born into the millennium will think of everything as normal. So therefore, the battle for them, those lust and complacency, will occur. That will be their battles. Let's turn over to John chapter 19. And let's pick up the story flow in John chapter 19. And it's when they came to Joshua the Christ and saw that he was already dead, and they did not break his legs. Verse 35. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you might believe. For if these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones will be broken. And verse 37 speaks about those that stuck that spear in his side. And again, another scripture says, they will look upon him whom they pierced. And this event is recorded in Zechariah 12, but you don't have to turn there. But that's where it's recorded. Zechariah 12 and verse 10. And it's where it talks about him being pierced. And I'll just refresh everyone by reading this to everyone. And I will pour on the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieves for him as one grieves for a firstborn. So we can see that they would look upon him whom they pierced. So let's turn over to the book of Revelation, And let's see what's recorded for you and me. We understand that they stuck that spear in his side and blood and water came out. And we know that he spilled his blood to the ground. And that fulfilled a prophecy that was written in God's book. And in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, God had it written by John. And this tells us, Revelation 1, verse 7. Behold, that's the way John wrote about it again. He comes with clouds, and every eye will see him, and they that pierced him, the ones that stuck those spears in his side. We understand that at this time we are celebrating that there's no way that they could see Christ. But we understand God's plan, and we understand the order of the things. We understand that there's another resurrection taking place. We know about the great white throne. And it says he comes in the clouds, and every eye will see him. So we understand the sequence of events. And only those that live into the millennium at this time will be able to see Joshua the Christ come back to this earth. We understand it's not their time. But we understand that there are others that are going to see Joshua the Christ in God's plan, because we understand God's plan. And we understand about those resurrections and the events that take place, that sequence of events. We understand about those resurrections. And we know that everyone eventually will be able to see Joshua the Christ in time. Whether it's during the millennium, or those that are alive and live into the millennium, or those that return or may be born during the millennium and at the end of the millennium. So we understand about that period of time. So this is what this is speaking about. We understand that those that stuck that spear in his side is going to eventually see Joshua the Christ. And those soldiers are going to come back to life again, because we understand this was written about them. And all those that were witnesses at that time, they will see Joshua the Christ. So this is what this is speaking about. Remember what I said about wailing and gnashing of teeth? There will be much of that at the end as these events unfold. And let's notice where it said, all kindreds of the earth will wail. In other words, they will mourn. They will lament because of him, speaking about Joshua the Christ. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And this is when Christ came to them after he was raised from the dead. We understand that they did not recognize him, and we understand that story. And this is when he had caught up to them and appeared and was walking with them. And he asked them, why were they so sad? And they asked a question like, where have you been while all this was taking place? And they told him about Christ being hung upon that pole and that he died. And they told him that the chief priests and the government had him hung on that pole. They said that we believed he was the one, and now it's been 3 days since this happened. So they're telling this story to Christ about what had happened and what they knew about that event that had taken place. And they told him about they were those that went to the tomb and found that it was just as they said, those women said. And they did not see him. In other words, Christ had risen and he was not there, as we know. And he said, O foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And let's notice what he said. Shouldn't Christ have suffered these things and then entered into his glory? In verse 27, let's notice what he did. Because this is what will be taught for 1,000 years and into the 100-year period of time until the end. The truth of what took place will be taught from the millennium until the end to mankind. Minds will be opened. And it's just as John wrote, living waters will now begin to flow. spiritual understanding will now be given to mankind. And he told them, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he told them about the scriptures that concerned him and those prophecies. And let's see what's taking place and let's notice. He told them about all the things that had been fulfilled. He explained all those prophecies that were about him. And he went through and gave them accounts, the things that were fulfilled about the different prophecies written in God's book. And he says he went in, the last part of this, says he went in to stay with them. And as it came to pass, he said, eating with them, and he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And let's notice what took place. Their eyes were opened, better said. Their minds were open so that they could have understanding. And that's what will take place during the millennium, that very thing. Minds will be opened. Understanding will be given to those that want what God will offer them. They have that ability now to accept that offer. He let them know who he was. And let's notice what took place next. He vanished out of their sight. He disappeared. He let them recognize who he was, and then he just vanished out of their sight. Can you imagine being there and seeing this take place? Just seeing him disappear before your eyes. I'm sure it made an impression upon those that were there in that room. And now, moving forward, 144,000 spirit beings will be here upon this earth during the millennium. For 1,000 years, speaking about these things that we are reading about today. And the prophecies from Moses and all the prophets. And he opened their minds to what everything means and what had been fulfilled and what was prophesied about him. So that understanding will now be given to all of mankind. And that's what you and me are here observing about that time when it will take place. It's about a time when minds will be opened to who Christ really is and who God the Father really is. And now, man will have the ability to become in God's family. They will have that offer to become Elohim and have eternal life. That's what will be offered to mankind now. Verse 36, this is where he appears to the disciples. And let's notice what took place. And as they were still speaking, he stood in the midst of them. He just appeared to them. It's never been anything like this, brethren, take place except for this, where someone could just appear and disappear. And it made them afraid, it says. And we can understand that. But now God tells us about a time when there will be 144,000 spirit beings upon this earth. But let's notice their reaction. They thought they had seen a spirit, and it made them all afraid. He knew that they were afraid, and he said, look at my hands and my feet, that it is me, it is I myself. Touch me and see. And when the kid said that, he showed him his hands and his feet. The scriptures were open to them, brethren. And this account tells us about this. Verse 44. He said to them, these are the words that I spoke when I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said, it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And those of the millennium, it is now their time to hear about this. And we are looking today at what everyone will be able to understand about their God. And they will now have access to what you have now, understanding. to have their minds open to the truths of the great God of this universe. And the rest says that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning Christ. And now mankind will have the ability to understand all those things that were written. And it will be a wonderful, wonderful time upon this earth. Even for us, to hear about all those things, to hear from Moses, to hear from Daniel. All of us are looking forward to the millennium, when this kingdom will bring peace to mankind. Finally, peace for man. We can all see the suffering wherever we live upon this earth. We can see what's coming. We can see what's ahead. We know that there's tragedy ahead, but we also know that there is a beautiful time coming in our future. And that's what we are here celebrating, that beautiful time, after all the tragedies. We look forward to our God to bring about the prophecies that are written in this book. We know that this world is coming to a crescendo to bring about the kingdom of God to this earth. God will have to intervene and stop the genocide that will take place upon this earth. And then He will bring about this city of peace, to bring about this wonderful and beautiful time upon this earth for mankind, the Feast of Tabernacles, what we are picturing today at this feast. Pictures a time when God's kingdom will be here upon this earth. God's government will be here upon this earth. It's a time to bring peace. It's a time when Satan will be put in his prison and he will not be able to influence the mind of man for 1,000 years. We know this and we look at it. So let's turn over to Revelation chapter 20 and read about this being and what will take place. We know that that's a time when he will be put in his prison for 1,000 years. And it's not far in our future. The Day of Atonement tells us much about Satan. And I love what that day pictures. And I guess that's my favorite day. God tells us at this time that the Satan and the demons will be restrained for 1,000 years. And he will now not have the ability to influence the mind of man for that 1,000 years. So this is about that account. So let's read through it. Revelation 20 and verse 1 says, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and tells us about all the names that he has, just some of them. And he will be bound for 1,000 years. And he will be cast into that bottomless pit and shut up in a seal put upon him. And let's notice what it says. So that he cannot deceive the nations until that 1,000 years is fulfilled. But after these things, he will be released for a while, for a short while. And all these deceptions, all these influences will be released upon the mind of man. And we know the result of what takes place. We know by what is written that so many will not want God's offer. So many that will reject God. And God says, had it written, that it will be as the sands of the sea. So many. It's not something that I can comprehend. But I know that it's true. And it will be that many. So many, even after 1,000 years of God's Son being upon this earth. But now the good news of the millennium. Let's go back. Because that being will not be able to influence man for that 1,000 years. And now mankind can see those that are in God's family. those that Revelation 14 tells us about that was redeemed from mankind upon this earth. The ones that being tried to destroy. We know that 144,000 overcame that influences. And they overcame that nature that is in man, this human nature. That's what they did. They overcame all those lusts of mankind. They did it with God's help. We understand that God is a creating God. And this is a time about the family that He has created. He will be continually creating His family during that 1,100 years. But that 144,000 had to choose a way of life. They had free choice to choose or reject God's offer. And they entered the war. They entered that battle against that being and against that nature that is in mankind. So here we see those that are in that first resurrection. Those that being had come after. And they are the first of God's creation of His family. Joshua the Christ and those first fruits are now upon this earth. And God will now continue to create His family during the millennium, that 1,000 years and on into the 100 years. Verse 4, let's notice how it was written. It says, I saw thrones. We know what thrones are. We know what a throne is used for. We've seen the coronation that has taken place. We saw the videos of coronations that have taken place in the past. And it says, they sat upon them. And let's notice what was given to them. Something has to be created in those that will sit upon those thrones. Because judgment was committed to them. And that 144,000. And it said, I saw the souls of those who had been cut off. That's better said because they didn't cut their heads off. It was just cut off of their witness to Joshua the Christ and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark in their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Joshua the Christ for 1,000 years. The last part of verse 5 tells us that this is the first resurrection. We understand that the rest of the dead will not live again until the 1,000 years are finished. And it says, blessed and holy is he who has part in that first resurrection. They are changed into a spirit being. And now they are the first of the creation of the great God of this universe to create that family. They are the first. And the second death. You never hear anyone outside of God's church speak about that second death. They all want to skip across those scriptures. Let's notice. They are created spirit beings by God. And that's why death will not hurt them anymore. And let's notice what they will be doing. This explains their job. They will be priests of God and of Joshua the Christ. And will reign with Him for 1,000 years. They will be kings and priests, brother. Let's take time and look at some scriptures. Let's turn over and look at what Zechariah wrote in chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. We know that Zechariah 14 was read at just about every Feast of Tabernacles. And it was about the return of Joshua the Christ. It's about the time when God will send him back to this earth and set up the kingdom of God upon this earth and establish God's government upon this earth. And in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 8 it says, just what John wrote about also, brethren. In that day it will be that living waters will flow from Jerusalem, from the city of peace, that is now upon this earth. is what it's saying, with those 144,000 spirit beings. But let's notice how it was written about what would take place. Now living waters would flow upon the whole earth, half of them toward the eastern sea, and half toward the western sea. So it will encompass the whole earth at that time, brother, the time that you and me are here celebrating at this Feast of Tabernacles. And it will flow for 1,100 years until the end, brother. And the Lord, let's notice, will be king over all the earth. In that day it will be, the Lord is one as His name is one. Just like John said about those living waters that will flow from the city of peace, Jerusalem. So now let's go over to Revelation chapter 7, and let's pick up what John wrote about again. Revelation 7, and let's look at verse 13. And this is what John was inspired to write. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from?" That's the question that was being asked. And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are ones that came out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night." And let's notice where. In His temple. "And He who sits upon the throne will dwell among them. They will neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun will not strike them, nor any heat." And we understand why. Because they are now spirit beings, brethren. Verse 17. "For the Lamb," speaking about Joshua the Christ, "who is in the midst of the throne, will shepherd them and lead them." And let's notice how it was written and what we've been talking about. He will lead them to living waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And we know when that will be. At the very end. And all the tears will be done away with. All the pain, all the suffering. But for now, that 144,000 have received God's promise, God's offer. And now they are in God's family. They are now Elohim, brethren. They are now in God's family. They have received that treasure. They have received that pearl of great price that God talks about in this book. John chapter 7, in verse 38. Joshua made some awesome statements in God's book. And he said, "He that bleeds upon me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly," let's notice, "will flow rivers of living waters." And the New King James says it this way, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, out of his mind, will flow rivers of living waters." He spoke concerning the Spirit. So it's telling us about those that believe, what those that will believe in him would receive. They would receive God's Holy Spirit. And so let's go with Psalms chapter 46. Psalms chapter 46. And let's see what David wrote about, because so much out of the Psalms is about Christ. Psalms chapter 46 and verse 5. Remember that Christ said those things that were written in the book of Psalms by David. So let's see what was written. Chapter 46 and verse 5. When we understand about Jerusalem, the city of peace that God is bringing to this earth to bring about peace, the new Jerusalem that it's called, we understand verse 5 and what it said. It says God is in the midst of her. she will not be shaken. God will help her just at the break of dawn. We understand that the great God of this universe is building his spiritual family, Elohim. And this is where we are in time, brethren. At the dawn of a new day, that's where we are. We are at the dawn of that new day, which is the millennial reign of God's Son upon this earth. We are at that dawn of this becoming a reality for mankind. And it's exciting times for the Church of God because it excites you and me. Let's notice in verse 6 what was said, what was written. David wrote, "The nations raged." All we have to do is look on the horizon is what is taking place. Look at that little box, that TV, or on these little computers we all carry. We can see China, North Korea, doesn't matter who it is, brother, in Russia. Israel may attack Iran. Iran may attack. So it's everybody's raging. It's just a mess. It says the kingdoms were shaken. He uttered his voice, and let's notice what happened. The way that it's pictured, the way that it is painted for you and me. The earth melted. So we know that this earth will not melt. We understand about the nation's rages because you and me can see it. We can see what is taking place. We can see that World War III is on the horizon. So we understand what David wrote in these verses about the earth melting, because we know about those weapons that could be unleashed upon this earth. Those weapons that went off in Japan is so minute now, brother. It's like a firecracker in the scheme of things today with the weapons that man has. But just those weapons at that time, at the very beginning of that genie being released out of the bottle. Those people in Japan, when they were running, all that is left of them is an image in some of the rocks. It melted that flesh, and all that is left is that image upon that rock. So we understand what was written through David about the earth melting because mankind would destroy every living thing. That radiation and those weapons would melt everything. And now the last part of verse 6, we understand that this earth will not totally melt, though those weapons have the ability to destroy everything, all physical life upon this earth. We understand what is written that will happen when Christ returns back to this earth. It says that the nations will melt at his return. We understand the power of the great God of this universe. We understand about the new Jerusalem that is coming, the holy city that is coming, the city of peace that is coming to this earth. So many ways of it said in God's book. But we know about that 144,000 that will be here with Joshua the Christ, that will make up that city of peace, that new Jerusalem. And now the earth will melt before them, so to speak. So it's a good way of saying it. Let's notice verse 7 and what was said. The Eternal of Hosts is with us. The great God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah means to think about it. There will be some awesome events upon this earth that some will be able to see. Those that live into the millennial reign of God's Son upon this earth, they will see those works that will take place. They will see the changes that will begin to take place upon this earth. Verse 9 tells us, "He makes wars cease to the end of the earth." God will stop all these wars except for an event at the end that we know about. God will not let mankind have the ability to destroy anymore. God tells us that he breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. We don't understand what that's saying. We understand that that's what takes place to bring about peace. It's the beginning of bringing peace to stop all those wars, to stop man from killing each other, and to keep them from destroying this earth. Man is polluting everything. God says that he burns those chariots in the fire. Talking about all those weapons, all those tanks, all those planes that were used to make war, all those missiles. That's what's being said. So this begins to bring, paint us a picture about that time of peace. Those weapons will be melted down, brethren. That's the way it's pictured. And now you can use it for good. You can melt all that metal down. And now you can make it into something that will be useful. Verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." And let's notice what else God says in his book. "I will be exalted." And let's notice where. "Among the nations." And it's a time when Joshua will be upon this earth among mankind. And God will be exalted upon this earth. We just read about Satan being put in his prison for 1,000 years. And we know that he cannot influence man except for a time when God allows it at the end. And we know about that lake of fire that has to take place. And God will bring that about quickly. But Satan will not be allowed during the time where he'll celebrate a beautiful time upon this earth for man. But this in itself will bring about changes upon the earth. And we know that it's just a beginning to stop all those wars, to start to bring about peace. But when Christ returns with his bride, it's a blessing from the great God of this universe that you have this understanding taking place in your mind. You can see that picture. You can see it right here in this mind of how it will take place. And just knowing that that kingdom is nearly here upon this earth is such a great blessing to have that understanding. When we look on the horizon at what man has lost his way completely, brother. There's no soundness of mind left anywhere among any of the nations. They have all lost their way. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. All of us have this pearl of great price that God tells us about in this book. We have that great treasure in our minds that has given us so much understanding of our God. In Isaiah 45 and verse 5, God tells us through Isaiah, and he says, "I am the Eternal, and there is no other." So this is really plain, brother. It's pretty plain. "There is no God besides me." It says, "I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know." Let's notice. "From the rising of the sun to the setting, that there is none besides me." So this is painting you a picture of when mankind will begin to know who their great God is. And now they will begin to know who Joshua the Christ is. They will know about that price that he paid with his life for all of mankind. And this is the beginning of that knowledge. Excuse me. Excuse me. And this is the beginning of that knowledge, and it begins with the millennium. We saw that it was written from the rising to the setting of the sun. And he says, "I am the Eternal, and there is no other." So the people of this earth will now begin to know God and to know their one and only true God. all that deception will be done away. Truth will be taught. We can see and understand that God is a creating God. We know that this time we're here celebrating is much about God's family being upon this earth. And we can see all the physical things out here that God is creating. And there is so much out there that we cannot see. We can see the magnificence of those physical creations through those telescopes that mankind has created. The James Webb telescope and that Hubble telescope that brings us those pictures of the universe. That universe that is in the future for God, God's plan. And mankind cannot understand about a creating God because he is now invisible to this world. But that's about to change. And that's what we're reading about today, that change. It's a beautiful thing to know and understand what is about to take place. When Christ is here, truth will be taught and they will begin to understand all the lies that have been said to them. All of the deceptions that have been against mankind. God says that he forms the light and he creates darkness. And thus notice, I make peace. So this peace is done through God sending his son back to this earth to begin to establish God's government upon this earth to begin peace for mankind. And it's only the great God of this universe that can bring about peace. Mankind has proved since his existence upon this earth. All mankind has done is create wars. Killed one another all through time. And now we are at that crescendo where they can kill every living thing upon this earth. So we understand that it's only God that can bring about this peace. Because man is about to destroy everything. God has given you and me understanding about how it will be done. And that's what we're looking at today. And I hope you understand what a blessing that is from your God. Just to know all these truths that we have been given. Given that treasure of understanding to your mind. Right here, brother. Through God's Spirit. You have been blessed with that pearl of great price, as God calls it. You already possess it if you don't give it away. And some will now give it away. It's not over yet. God says, I am the eternal and I do all these things. And that's who gave you the understanding. He's the one that called us out of this world and opened our minds to these truths that we are looking at today. Verse 8, we understand that conditions will be created upon this earth, and that will be done through God's Spirit. And it will be like waters that covers the sea. That's how it's pictured for you and me. It's pictured as waters covering that covers the sea. And it says, let's notice, rain down, you heavens, rain down. Verse 8, that's how God has it explained. Rain down, you heavens from above. So what is this talking about? It tells us in the very next verse, brethren, that the skies rain down righteousness. That's what it's about. It's a different time upon this earth. It's a spiritual meaning, and you understand it. You understand it because of what God placed in your mind. Let the skies pour down righteousness. Remember the mustard seed that God told us about? That would grow until it encompassed the whole earth. Just like those living waters. Remember the stone that Daniel wrote about that struck the image? And then it began to encompass the whole earth. And now it says, let the skies pour down righteousness. It's what it's speaking about, brethren. speaking about that time that you and me are here celebrating, the Feast of Tabernacles. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth, let notice, salvation. Finally, salvation will be offered to mankind. Everyone. You've been offered that now, brother. That blessing, that pearl of great price. And it says, let righteousness spring up together. And let's notice who will create this environment. I, the Eternal, have created it. So it's the time of our God. Satan and the demons have been dealt with and put in their prison. Mankind has had 6,000 years to create his own ways, his own governments, his own way of life. But now it is the time when God makes changes. And now God begins to rule this earth. And it's the time that living waters that we read about, that's the way it was written by John and others, that will go out from Jerusalem, that city of peace. And it's like righteousness being rained down upon the people at that time. And it paints you and me a beautiful, beautiful picture of that time when that righteousness will rain down. And there's never been a time like this. And it's beyond our understanding. But we do get a picture. Only God can create the peace that we have talked about. And that peace will begin with the return of His Son. And then those that return with Him, those disciples, those that are part of that 144,000. It's not far off and we will see that take place, brethren. All we have to do is look on the horizon. Man is about to destroy everything that is living upon this earth, if left unchecked. And we live in that time. And those of those 144,000 that will become spirit beings, those that the Church of God has been founded upon, those apostles and prophets, for 6,000 years, that will be the foundation, those apostles and prophets. They will be here, and you can talk to them. You can talk to Zechariah, Isaiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, Moses, Aaron. And we cannot imagine such a time. But God tells us about it. And that's what we are here celebrating, that time. We don't focus so much about hearing from Daniel and what took place. And that lion, how he faced that lion. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they walked in that fiery furnace. But now is that time that we can hear about those things. And we have 1,000 years to hear about it from those beings. Isaiah 45 and verse 18. For so, thus says the Eternal, who created the heavens, who is God. And we know about all that creation that we can see. And it's talking about who formed the earth and who made it. Who's established it. And who did not create it in vain. That's what God had written. He says he formed it to be inhabited. So this is telling us much about our great God. The great God of this universe. Everything that we can see out here that is in our future. All those planets and all those beautiful pictures of this universe. It's in our future. We understand that mankind has had 6,000 years to create his own religions, his own governments. And we can see what that has accomplished. Nothing but killing. War after war since the beginning of time. God says he will stop all that. And that's what we are here picturing. God stopping all that destruction that mankind has brought upon himself. God has reserved that last 1,000 years that we're here celebrating in the 100-year period of time for himself. It's about God's Son reigning upon this earth now. God said he did not create all this in vain. He's not going to let mankind destroy this earth. He's going to stop it, brother. He's going to stop all this killing, all these wars, all this destruction of this earth. God has a plan, and we see it coming to fruition quickly. This part of God's plan that we are here celebrating. It's knocking on our door, brother. Verse 18, the last part. I am the eternal, and there is no other. It's pretty straightforward. Verse 22. Look to me and be saved. Notice who it's written to. All you ends of the earth. This is in our future. It's not happened yet, brother. But we've been reading about it today, about those living waters that will encompass this earth. And it says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. So God will extend that offer to those through that 1,100 years. They will have the opportunity to understand and live God's way of life. To obey God's commandments while they're upon this earth. And there's only way that it can be done. But it's in God's time and in God's order that it will be done. God says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness. Let's notice. It's what we've been speaking about. Righteousness being rained down. And will not return. Let's notice. That to me every knee will bow. The world will be brought to its knees, brother. And when every knee bows, we understand. At the end of it all, there will only be spirit beings there. Spirit beings that will be at one with their God. And that will be when every knee bows to him, brother, and accepts his offer. It will be a new world. It will be a new age. Actually, it will be the beginning, brother. That's exactly what it will be, the beginning.